Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is July the 23rd, 2015. And, today we're going to be talking about mindfulness meditation techniques, kind of part two, and how top athletes are using mindfulness meditation to enhance their performance and, you know, why athletes should use meditation, what it can be used for, and how to practice, how you could practice mindfulness meditation also as a performing edge sports psychology coach. It helps all of us, I think, for our, clarity of mind and focus and productivity to be able to have a clear and calm mind through meditation. And then how you can coach your athletes to quiet the mind under pressure and talk about mantra type meditations, which are I think really good, and including gratitude. You hear so much about a great sort of gratitude attitude these days, and that you can include that in meditations, and to counteract anxiety and frustrations and setbacks. And then there's research showing that meditation works, and different types of meditation, how you can use those, and maybe any examples that all of you have with yourself or with other athletes in using meditation, that would be great too to share. And then how to prepare for meditation and different exercises you can do. I know Amy Haller called, and she's using that with her ballet, and one of our performing edge coaches in Pennsylvania. She's working with the Pennsylvania Ballet and is doing a workshop this week, I think, and last week on mindfulness meditation for her dancers there. So that's interesting, and she wants to, she's real interested in this. Hopefully she'll join us here too. So, the main reason for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions and to connect with you. And so, the calls are always second and fourth Thursday of the month, so if you mark your calendars for the next one, would be August 13th, the second week, Thursday in August, August 13th and 27th. And let's see. So I wanted to, and then I'll see if there might be a possibility of doing another one, an extra one on the next week on the 30th, since it's an extra Thursday. We happen to have five Thursdays in the month. I'll let you know. So great. So, I know, Adriana, first you had a question first about a potential client that you had. Do you want to just...
I responded back to her, and I actually checked my messages this morning, and she wants to do a FaceTime. But I know she's going through recovering from a back injury. And
can
the
you
way
say,
I kinda...
for the, tell everyone else what kind of client it is for weightlifting, is that right?
Yeah, so I follow the USA Olympic weightlifting team, and Ariel Stevens is a 69-kilo weightlifter. She's lifted, the last Olympics, I believe, in the American Open, and I kind of follow her, and I just, I follow her on Instagram and social media, and she posted that she's going through, a back injury, and you can tell that she's kind of going through mental obstacles. So I kind of reached out to her just through a comment, I think visualization could help. I'm building a new website. Email me if you have any questions. And out of, within 5 minutes, I got an email from her.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a great way to market yourself.
Yeah, it was crazy just because
you didn't come on real strong and say, I can help you, but just said, email me if you have questions.
No, I didn't.
Which is better,
One out of, 200 comments that she could have looked through. And then her first message was basically, I've worked with a sports psych for the past year, but I've never heard of visualization techniques or never touched upon it. Basically replied, told her my background a little bit, told her kind of what visualization is. And then she's like, thank you for... I appreciate you letting me know about this information. I would like to set up a FaceTime appointment. And that was actually this message this morning. So I have yet to reply to that. So I guess moving forward, I don't know if I should just do a visualization as a for a peak performance and then move on to, like, healing an injury, because I haven't even set up any, like, trust between both of us. So, maybe not a FaceTime, maybe just a phone call, touch base, like, where she's at and stuff, or...
Yeah, is she in this country or somewhere else?
She's in California.
Okay,
up here. North around LA area, I believe.
Okay.
Or she could be at Colorado. I think they're training right now at the OTC Center.
Training
center. So
yeah.
Either Colorado or Northern California.
Okay. Oh, did someone else just join us, too? I heard
a
ding.
Yeah, this is Alex.
Oh, hi, Alex. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, good. Yeah, just talking to Adriana and Michelle are on the call here, too. And Adriana had a question, too. So I was just talking about a new weightlifter, and this is a good technique. Well, just to talk about first how to help her, and also a really good way to market your services. Adriana was saying that she has a weightlifter, well, follows different people in her sport in weightlifting on Facebook and Instagram on the social media, and then she noticed that one client had, or one person had the back problem at issue, and then she wanted to, and so you, Adriana, you said you reached out to her right on Instagram, was it? And just said, what was your, how did you first comment to her, just so we could all learn again?
I just basically said that you're doing great. I know, like, there's visualization techniques, building a new website. If you're interested, email me, and I posted the email there, and honestly, within less than 5 minutes, she had emailed me. And pretty much said that she's been working with a sports psych for the past year and hasn't even touched on visualization. Like, she didn't even know about it.
Yeah,
so
that's
curious.
Really interesting. because visualization is so important with in this area, sports psychology. So it's good with the other person she's working with. You know, we don't know this. That would be good to find out the status if you talk to her of, you know, maybe she's just finishing up with this other person, or maybe it's not working out as well and she wants to work with you. Or it's, you know, just like you could do just, you know, focus just on the visualization techniques with you and she could continue with this other person.
Right.
Too. It's. I don't see it as a conflict necessarily.
Right.
But, just like you go to when we have medical problems, we go to an orthopedic surgeon. If you have a bone problem, you go to, you know, heart specialist if you got something for your heart. And so you could be the specialist in visualization techniques. So that would be great. So it's, first of all, it's fantastic the way that you reached out to her and that you were actually following these different athletes on social media, and you can see, even without them knowing who you are, they see that you are, you're following them, so you know that if they've got a problem, an injury problem, or sometimes they'll talk about anxiety, or they do that, or they had a bad game or something, bad performance, right?
Right.
That's usually a time when athletes are most vulnerable and frustrated and most ready to accept help of some kind. So it's a good time to, and you just posted a comment there, right? The way you did it was really good. You wouldn't want to post the comment, you know, just for everyone. You wouldn't want to, you know, get into a really personal, private conversation, with comments where
mm-hmm.
everyone can see it, because you'd want to. But the way that you did it was really good. Yeah, visualization techniques can help. Building your new website, and just email me if you have questions, and then and so that just something short and quick, and just offering help in a certain area. And so that's great, and it wasn't too heavy as far as marketing goes.
No.
So, yeah, so that's a really good way to that everyone can add to you know, marketing techniques kind of thing. If you see that somebody here is somebody that's, I mean, she's at the top of her field, right?
Yeah.
And yet she's willing to, you know, reach out to you and you know, you could say also that you're, of course, that you're in this field yourself and you competed in the in weightlifting and all, and give your credentials. So. So that she respects you, that you know what you're talking about, that you're in this field. So I would say, but with your question, with the, say, did you schedule something with her, with to talk
I haven't. I got the. She wanted to schedule a FaceTime appointment.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know if that's.
What was your thought on it?
I felt like that was a little too forward already. Like. Maybe having a on-phone discussion, figuring out the pre-visualization before going straight into a visualization exercise.
Yeah, I think so, because I thought the same thing. Yeah, FaceTime appointment. Well, I'm not completely sure how the confidentiality of FaceTime.
Right.
I don't think it's recorded, but... it just sometimes it might feel like it's a little bit, it feels like a little forward kind of thing, since it's a video and all. It's different. Well, of course, it's, people do that all the time with Skype, which is basically like the same kind of thing, video conferencing. But sometimes, I think the phone conversation, since she's in California, phone conversation would be good, would be best, and. First, build a rapport. Like you say, you want to build that trust and find out her background, more of her background, and what's her frustrations. Try to get at the pain, what's going on, and what's not working right. And because that's what people were most interested in getting help for, and what they'll pay. Then you can decide if you want to. You could offer just to do the visualization for, you know, complimentary for free, since she's a top athlete. To get that experience, she could be, you know, sort of your practice client kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say at first, and that way she'd be much more likely to work with you, and you could get experience doing this. Yeah, and then in the second, I think it's the second module of the Performing Edge Coach program, there's that, you know, pre-visualization assessment, and yes, you could ask her the questions in there. You don't have to ask her all of them, maybe, but just kind of tell me about a peak experience, the time when you were at your absolute best, and then all five senses and all of that. And then you could get that information, and then you could actually take her through the visualization exercise right there on the phone, or you could, if you feel more comfortable, you could, you know, kind of think about what she said and then kind of script something. And then get back to her. Always plan a second time, I think, you know, with the phone conversation.
Okay.
Say, let's plan a second time to get together on phone and then do the visualization with her over the phone then.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So I think that would be really good, yeah. Since she's in California here, that would be good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone else join us too?
Yeah, it was me, Rob, Sacramento.
Oh, hi, Rob. How are you? Yeah, good to
hear
your voice.
Sorry, I'm a little late.
Oh, no problem. Okay, great. So yeah, congratulations, Adriana. Does anyone else have suggestions for Adriana with working with this new potential client, or any way, the way that you would do it? So Alex or Michelle or Rob?
No, my only thing is I know I missed a couple of the last two sessions, and I'm not familiar with Adriana. She, I guess you're fairly new to...
Yeah, Adriana, yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself to Alex and...
I'm Adriana here in San Diego. Started about, I guess, in fifth module, so about a month ago. My background, I was military. I've played sports all my life. I'm doing a life coaching certification at the moment. I'm a competitive weightlifter as well. I'm trying to make the American Open next year and have really decided to do sports as my niche, because in life coaching I need to figure out a niche, and I'm starting to like really love it because I'm all about personal development and NLP and all that stuff. So that's why I'm here.
That's great. All right.
Yeah, thanks, Adriana.
So my name is Alex Diaz. I'm Argentinian, living in New York, playing golf for many years, and I primarily see players who either play tennis or golf, squash, or any particular sports practiced by middle, high school, and college students primarily. So that's what I do.
Yeah, great. And Alex, you said you had an opportunity, was it, to speak somewhere?
I'm sorry?
I think, Alex, you had emailed me earlier that you had an opportunity to speak somewhere or potential.
I have a couple of, actually three presentations. I got a second talk at Yale University. They have a summer squash camp. Then there's another
fantastic
organization. I'm sorry?
I just think that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Worked out pretty well. Then there's another organization that also they practice squash as well. And yesterday was a high-performance tennis players, about middle school, high school students or athletes. So that worked out very well. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, great. Wow, that's fantastic, yeah. And Rob, do you know, I don't know if you know Rob, Rob, do you want to introduce yourself briefly?
Sure.
Alex?
Yeah, hi.
My name is Rob. I was a collegiate volleyball player quite a few years ago, and I was a collegiate volleyball coach for 16 seasons. I won a couple national, I assisted in winning a couple national championships. So primarily my focus is with volleyball players, because that's who I'm going to coach today, but I'm open to working with any athlete, actually, or any player.
Where are you located?
Sacramento, California.
Okay. Oh, both Californians. All right.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
I used to live in Los Angeles for quite a few years ago.
Oh, great.
So I lived in Los Angeles. I went to USC. So I'm fairly familiar with the Californian weather. Yeah.
I actually got accepted to UCLA, but I did not attend there. We would have been rivals.
The U.S., right?
I got accepted to UCLA. This was back in the 1970s, but I did not attend there. I went to Cal State Northridge instead.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yes, rivalry. Yeah. Okay, good. All right.
Great. Okay, yeah. And Michelle, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
I lost the connection, and so I just jumped back on. I'm not sure where we're at.
Okay, I was just, did you introduce yourself to Rob and Adriana? I don't know if you had it before.
Yeah, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, but I live in Vancouver, Canada, and started your program, I think, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and just started practicing probably around February. My background in sport is mountain biking primarily and alpine ski racing. And I've coached for about 20 years, but just recently got into the mental aspect. And I don't really have a certain athlete that I focus on. I seem to be gradually getting all the sports covered. So just when I've learned one sport, I have to learn another. It'd be nice when, you know, they start to overlap a little bit.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a single ski racer or a mountain biker.
You haven't had?
No, not for sport psychology.
But you've had aerial skiing and, I guess, different things, right?
Yeah, and tennis and golf. And I just had a sailor contact me a couple of days ago. He's gunning for Rio to represent Canada at those Olympics. So that's kind of neat. I don't know a lot about about sailing, so I'm going to learn.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
How did he find you? Just through the web, through searching, or
word of mouth?
Okay, good.
So that's always good, isn't it?
That's the best way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I have noticed that more recently I'm starting to get a few little, messages here and there from people that have found me on the web.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah, fantastic. So, so let's talk. That's great. I know Michelle, you're doing a lot in Vancouver, and people are starting to call you and getting a lot more business there, so that's great for all these days. It's exciting when you can work in different sports, I think, and it doesn't matter if you don't know the sport. You can just, first look up on the web just about anything, especially YouTube, and watch videos of that sport, watch people playing it, watch the commentators, listen to what they're saying, and you can pick up the language fairly quickly, and then just ask about the questions of the person talking.
The biggest issue I have is when they, if you're doing, say, a peak performance visualization for them, and then they're talking about their experience, and I don't often know the words that they're using. Like, we had this discussion about fencing. It's a completely different language.
Yeah, fencing, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you can just think first. Just write down the words and that they're saying, and then use those words in a visualization. And you don't necessarily have to know the technical part of it. Or you can maybe that first session. Often I'll just write down what they're saying, and then I'll look up those words afterward, or that kind of thing. Not after, so you don't bog down the client with trying to actually learn the sport right there.
Mm-hmm.
But try to do a little bit of research afterward. So that's good. So let's talk about, first of all, the mindfulness meditation and how athletes are using that, some different reasons. I wanted to go over a few reasons why athletes should meditate. And I think, with all the scientific evidence coming out in the past several years, meditation is something that I think can't be overlooked, and it's anyone who's ever played a sport knows that our biggest opponent is always inside our minds, and so meditation gives you ways to come to terms with that component, and visualization goes right along with meditation. I think you can meditate first and to get into a calm state of mind, and then go into a visualization after that, or it can be actually part of it, because meditation is basically just focusing on an object or calming your mind and focusing on one particular thing, object of attention, and that one object of attention could be doing your sports, or it could be just looking at a flame of a candle, or it could be sometimes it's good to not necessarily just obsess about your sport, but to take your mind off of that for a little while and just focus on the a tree blowing in the wind, or the air that you're breathing, just to, simplify things. So it doesn't matter what sport that you're working on with your athletes. I think any athlete can benefit from the positive benefits of meditation. And the research in meditation on athletic performance is growing all the time. And meditation it's been shown to help in other areas that relate to athletic performance too, such as anxiety and focus and confidence. So I think we should be including this type of thing. There's a lot of coaches and players in the NBA and National Basketball Association that have been using meditation for years, like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, all talk about how they use meditation. And so you can look them up on Google or YouTube as well and see that they're doing that and how they're using it. So, oh, Maybe if you could put, just while, during this little section, if you could put your phone on mute. It sounds like there's a little bit of background noise. Just press star 6, and then if you want, so we can have a good clear recording. And then if you want to ask a question, just press star 6 again to unmute. That'd be great. Thanks. And so the first thing that a reason why meditation athletes should meditate is I think it helps you focus. You know, your focus really determines if you're how you're performing in a game, and oftentimes if you win or lose a game, or a match or a race. And so, for instance, when you're at the free throw line of a basketball game, you may miss the shot. You know, that time, why not, you know, train your mind to focus at that point? Just do a quick meditation of even 5 seconds or 10 seconds. When an athlete's all of a sudden everybody's looking at you, you know, during that time, you can learn, teach athletes to just quickly, you know, do a few breaths and just take their mind completely off of all the pressure and onto just with the one thing that they have to do, which is just get the ball in the basket. And so meditation has been shown to increase the states of focus in the brain. So I think every athlete, no matter what sport, can work on bettering their focus. And then second thing is that it can help athletes deal with fear, because fears can really, you know, play with our minds and take our minds away from the present moment. So it can lead to so many errors in sports. And I think a meditation has been shown to calm the fear center of the brain. It's known as the amygdala. That's in the back of the brain, where it's kind of the considered the old brain. Even when you're not meditating, afterward you get this nice calming effect. So this information and that techniques you can teach an athlete are worth, you know, for a professional athlete could be worth millions of dollars, because they could perform so much better if you can calm those fears and just, you know, be right in the moment and have an athlete be okay with themselves and just be present and feel a sense of peace and calmness. That's just really valuable for performance and then for overall health. And then another thing is the area of pain. You know, athletes are in a lot of pain, and they they're always dealing with some sort of pain. And if it's, of course, there's good pain and bad pain. And if you've got the bad pain is one where you're doing injury to your body and it's getting worse, and that's the type that where you should not ignore it, but, you know, get some help. But then there's good pain, which is that type of the pain of exertion, the pain of effort, the pain of working hard, and that your heart is pounding and your muscles are grinding and working, and it's okay to have that kind of pain. And that's the kind of pain that meditation could really help with. Especially high endurance sports like the triathlon, the Ironman that I've done, and marathons and long distance cycling, you know, really do tax your body and your mind, and so meditation can help people to cope with that kind of pain of where you have to keep going even though your body wants you to stop. And so you can, if oftentimes, for instance, with a certain kind of meditation would be to, if you're, say, out running, you know, I've done this before where I just imagine that I'm up on a hill, a mountain somewhere far away, or just watching myself running. That could be a kind of like a watching meditation, or distancing yourself from the sport, so you imagine that someone else is out there running, someone else is having the pain, and so it doesn't seem so close to you, and you are able to perform better. And also to take your focus, we can usually only focus on one thing at a time, and so if you can take your mind away from that pain, if you focus on the pain, then it's probably going to get worse, and it seems worse, and it feels a lot worse, and it's more difficult to deal with. But if you can take your focus off the pain and onto something else and have the athlete choose what that other thing is. It could be the athlete in front of you, just staying with them. That can help tremendously. Just focusing on that, and that can be a focused meditation. So the thing I wanted to emphasize, too, is that meditation, it could be done at home, in your bed before sleeping, or it could be done right before an event, or it can be actually in the event itself it could be a walking meditation, a running meditation, or a fencing meditation, whatever sport it is that you are doing, or weightlifting, to focus on just one object, and calming your mind. Another aspect of meditation that's really important too, of course, is a passive attitude, to just be able to just be without judgment, to without saying you're an idiot, or you can't do this, or why is this always happening. Those kinds of negative thoughts come in, and just being able to just be there with yourself, or with your thoughts, or with the activity, without judging. So we've got three things that focus. The meditation helps with your focus and fear, dealing with fear and anxiety, and coping with pain. And then it also meditation helps athletes strengthen the immune system. An athlete, you can't really perform well if you're sick, and if you're sick, you can't play. And athletes are always looking at various ways to avoid becoming sick. Of course, nutrition and sleep and good diet are all important, good, but also meditation can help to, especially right before going to sleep, can help to get better sleep, and just it's been shown in various studies to strengthen our immune system overall, because you're not taxing your body and your mind as much throughout the day if you're in a calm state of mind. And so also what can help meditation, another reason that athletes can meditate is that it reduces your mind from obsessing about things and from ruminating. We tend to, if you lose a game or miss a winning shot, or you have a really difficult failure or setback, I mean, we all do. Every athlete has had that, and it's hard to bounce back from that, and we usually run through those mistakes over and over in our mind, obsessive thoughts. And so meditation can really help to reduce those obsessive thoughts and reduce the ruminating, and can help your mind to just be okay with who you are, and to focus on the present. Oftentimes I'll help people. I talk about, of course, creating a new movie in your mind if you make a mistake, being able to just let that one go, and say that's in the past, and then be able to relax and just be in the moment. Create a new movie of what you'd like to happen, and replay that over and over in your mind. Another thing that's really important to help the mind from ruminating. A lot of what-ifs are usually going on in the athlete's mind. What if I can't? What if I look stupid? What if I make the mistake? What if I mess up? But if you can just help your athletes to just relax and focus and let the game unfold, or let the race unfold, and that your body, you've got a certain performance in your body that day, and just let it happen. And then it makes you resilient as well. The greatest another reason for athletes practicing meditation is that it brings that resiliency in, which is really important, that ability to recover quickly from difficult situations. The greatest athletes in the world, I think, are the most resilient, and meditation has been shown to help in this area. Everyone knows that you have to fail over and over again until you succeed, and so when you're meditating, you can relax and not judge yourself, and really detach yourself from the negative thoughts that keep you from achieving your goals. So that's really important. And that resiliency. A couple other things that I wanted to point out is that it helps to stabilize, when you're an athlete's meditating, helps to stabilize their emotions. So there's been several studies that show that people with more mindful, you know, that have that mindfulness attitude, which is one of calmness, calming the mind and quieting the mind, are better able to be on an emotional even keel, have better control over their mood, so it's not these huge ups and downs. And that's really key for being able to perform well consistently in your sport. And the competitive nature of all the athletes causes them to, you know, we're all often on this roller coaster of different emotions and overanalyzing what went wrong in an event. And so meditation uses mindfulness. Why not use that throughout your game or your race to be on an emotional even keel? It also reduces stress when you're meditating. Athletes are under a tremendous amount of stress, and athletics is a high stress environment. So if you embrace a practice like meditation that can reduce that stress, it can just help you to, you know, be able to handle all the different things that you are doing during the game. And when you're not stressed, then you can make better decisions. You're more focused on what's happening at the moment, and you can really make those quick decisions that make a difference in the game. Be more attentive to what's going on and be able to react quickly, especially in really fast action games. And then a couple other things I just want to mention is sleep is really important. A lot of athletes have trouble sleeping the night before a competition, and so quality sleep is one of those valuable things that every athlete needs. And so if you can meditate right before going to sleep, it just imagine just getting 8 hours of real quality sleep versus, you know, three or four hours of just, you know, tossing and turning, worrying about what's going to happen. The athlete that can sleep is going to wake up a lot more refreshed, have their battery recharged, you know, ready to go right before the game, and it's going to have a huge advantage. You know, having just an MP3 that you could create for the athlete that just focuses on, you know, meditation techniques would be really helpful for them, just to be able to quiet the mind, even if they're not visualizing their event. Sometimes the night before a game or a race, you know, it's helpful just to be able to quiet the mind, because you're And then you can use other times to mentally rehearse your event. And then one other thing I wanted to mention was a good reason for athletes to meditate is it helps us to, we all have blind spots and can't see some things that we can't see or some things we're not looking at clearly. And so it's good to be able to, when you're in a quiet place in your mind, then it helps you to see your blind spots, the things that we're not seeing, the things that we need to improve on. Sometimes we're resistant. The coach is saying, oh, you need to do this or work on this particular technique, but we're thinking, I don't need to do that. And then when you're meditating, you're in this really quiet place, and you can hear that little voice inside that is telling you what you do need to work on, and your kind of inner wisdom and insight can come in, and you can get those messages where you need to what you need to work on. It's just really a valuable thing. I was talking last time, you know, 2 weeks ago, about the three different types of meditation. There's concentration, and then reception meditation, and then reflective meditation. And the third type, reflective, is where you just kind of ask yourself a question, or what can I learn from this? Or if you're having a tough, just recovering from a bad experience, maybe you could ask yourself, how can I use this to my advantage? What can I do differently? And ask yourself that, or how can I move forward? What's the next step? And just ask yourself a question, and then go into a meditation, do some deep breathing, and then you'll be able to get that insight will come, the answer to your question will come. What do I need to do next? Or maybe you want to ask a question, how can I beat this competitor? Or how can I, what do I need to do to get better, to be successful in this next game or this next race? Ask a question and then go into a meditation, and when you're in that quiet space, oftentimes the answer will come to you, or some new insights or new ideas about what to do about that situation, because you're really tapping into your inner wisdom there. When you take away all the distractions, then finally your brain can start working on what's really important. So I encourage you, those are some reasons why athletes should meditate. Actually focus, deal with fear, coping with pain, and strengthening your immune system, keep you from obsessing, making athletes more resilient, keeping that emotional even keel, helping you sleep, also dealing with our blind spots, and being able to see what's going on. So those are some kind of examples some reasons to meditate. And then I wanted to talk about a little bit about the process of meditation. Just want to check in first. Does anyone have any questions about that part, or any comments, or any experiences that you've had meditating yourself or working with an athlete with meditation that you want to share? And if you want to speak, just if you've muted your phone, just go press *6 to unmute. Or if not, let's go on to I wanted to just mention that sometimes people want to know what meditation does, and is there? It's not just hocus pocus, but there's actually evidence that this works. There's been lots of research done, but one particular study, Dr. Herbert Benson researched various meditation techniques at Harvard University, and to see if they could counteract the physiological effects of stress. And he demonstrated that with meditation, five things. The EEG, brainwave patterns, indicated that, which is the electroencephalograph, if any of you do biofeedback, it increased the alpha activity, so more alpha brainwave patterns, which is the more relaxed meditative state of the brain. And then when athletes relax, there's oxygen consumption fell by 20%, so you're breathing more slowly, more deeply, so that's a good thing. And also heart rate and breathing rates decreased, so you're relaxing the heart and the lungs. And the fourth thing is that the blood lactate levels dropped, that indicate less stress. And fifth thing is that skin resistance to electrical current increased.
I'm sorry, John, what drops?
Yes. Sorry?
What drops?
Oh, the blood lactate levels.
Blood what?
Blood lactate, blood lactate, lactate, levels drop. So,
what is a blood lactate? I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, so it's just a measure of the of stress. And so when that drops, it indicates that there's lower stress. It's kind of like your blood pressure dropping, and so people are having less stress. Yeah. And then all of those things indicate that there's a real physiological basis for this, that meditation helps. And he indicated that any kind of meditation practice can produce these kinds of really good physiological changes as long as there's four factors. And so the four factors, so you could do any kind of, any type of meditation you choose. And this research found that the four factors that you need are a comfortable position, like, you know, sitting quietly on the floor or a chair or floor or in your bed. Or you could also do it, you know, walking or moving as well, as long as you're comfortable. The second thing is a quiet environment so that it's non-distracting. So, you know, being outside, you know, it's best to tell your athletes to turn off their cell phones, and which a lot of athletes are addicted to. It's really important to not just, I think, not even put it on vibrate, but actually turn the phone off during that time. So there's no, or take it to another room so there's no distractions there, no phone calls or emails are coming in while you're meditating. And then the third thing is an object of mental focus or attention. So, you know, you're just trying to focus on one thing, like it could be a mantra, you know, a word or phrase that you're saying to yourself. It could be you're just focusing on your breath. It could be focusing on a candle that's you've lit that's burning, or focusing on a tree, something in nature, or it could be when you're actually doing an activity, you know, let's say running, you're focusing on the push off of your foot, or focusing on your hand. So you could actually be working on, you know, a particular skill and making sure your arms are nice and relaxed as you're running while you're meditating. Could be anything like that. There's no limit to what you could focus on, but just keeping your mind to one, focusing on one thing. And then the fourth thing is a passive attitude, so that you're just looking, just noticing, not judging what you're doing, and it's just a awareness of what's going on. And if you can quiet, so those four things: a comfortable position, a quiet environment, and an object of mental focus or attention, and then a passive attitude, and you know, just so that you're not judging yourself, but just to, quieting the mind. Those four things indicate that if you have those four things in a meditation practice, then you're going to be able to get those kinds of results we talked about with improved brainwave activity, and you know, lower oxygen consumption, your heart rate, breathing goes down, your blood pressure goes down, and all those things can really help. And so many athletes actually have trouble with different areas like anxiety and sleep disorders and obsessive thinking and eating disorders, depression, and meditation has been really effective in those areas, as well as you know, just things like migraine headaches. A lot of athletes have headaches, and some can have serious heart problems as well. So meditation is very effective in those areas. The way to teach your athletes to do meditation is to, you know, first you want to prepare and just establish a posture of some sort. And so five things that you want them to do is look at their, have a good posture and have good the right attitude. And three, focus, an object of focus, and then breathing. And then, you know, create that time for meditating. So you want to just have your athletes, you know, choose a position that's comfortable. It could be in a chair with your hands resting on your lap. That's a really good one with, you know, your hands resting upward so that your palms are up. And it's almost kind of psychological, like you're in a receiving position to be able to receive insight or relaxation receive, you know, that awareness. You could be cross-legged on the floor, or if that's not comfortable, then someone could just, sit on the floor comfortably, whatever position they like. You could be, another way that a lot of people do is the Japanese position, Japanese fashion, where you're on your knees and then you come back to your buttocks, it rests on the soles of your feet, you're kind of kneeling. And then there's the full lotus position, but that's a little more difficult to do, where your feet are, you're kind of cross-legged, but your feet are up on top of your legs, but that wouldn't recommend that for beginners. Or you could be just lying on the floor, but or in a bed is okay too, but sometimes that's a little more difficult because people might tend to fall asleep, so being in a chair is good. Or so that's one way to do it. And then so you want to sit with your back straight and not straight but not rigid, and then just imagine, I like to use what I call a three balloon technique. Imagine that there's put both two hands, you can try this right now if you like, just put both hands on your collarbones, so just below your the top of your chest where your collarbones are. You put one left hand on the left side, right hand on the right side, and then just see from your collarbones, just imagine that there's two helium balloons coming up, a helium balloon from each collarbone up and lifting you up into the air. So it's like your bones are lifting you up, rather your bones are doing the work rather than your muscles. And so imagine now taking your hands from the collarbones and then pulling those strings up into the air, so that you imagine that those helium balloons, the strings are coming up, and as your hands come up, imagine that you're being pulled up into the air. And so that helps you to keep that really good posture and keeps you from slumping so that you're getting good oxygen in. So you got those two balloons there that come up from your collarbones. And then you take your hand, and the third helium balloon is, imagine it's on the top of your head toward the back, and take a little lock of hair on the back of your head, and then just pull, not real hard, but just pull gently upward. So you imagine that this third helium balloon is just pulling your head, gently lifting your head up from the back, and so that keeps your head in a really good position so your neck is nice and long, and just imagine that elongated body. So it's a really nice position just to practice throughout the day anyway, even if you're working at your computer or if you're meditating, or even if you're talking on the phone to one of your clients kind of thing, helps you to sit in a really good position to have that good posture. So you want to keep your pull, you can pull in your chin a little bit slightly and keep your shoulders down and relaxed and allow the small of your lower back to arch. And then if you're sitting, you can kind of rock back and forth from side to side and front and back a few times just to establish a point where your torso feels balanced on your hips. And then just close your mouth and breathe through your nose for a little bit, and that helps you to just kind of really focus on your breathing. So that's the posture part. And then with attitude, you want to just have this passive attitude. That's probably one of the most important things with meditation. It's important with both relaxation and meditation. When you're practicing for the first time, lots of thoughts will come and go, and you'll have that, relatively short periods of clear concentration. And that's to be expected at first. But then gradually you'll begin to be able to concentrate for longer periods of time. And so maintaining a passive attitude means not being concerned about being right or wrong or doing things correctly, but just saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this exercise and I'll just accept whatever happens. And so it's just a process of slowing down your mind and just being, the phrase "be here now" is really a good one. Just that can be almost a mantra. Be here now. Just be here in this situation, in the now, and not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future. Just being here now and being accepting of what is in the moment. So that's attitude part, posture, and then attitude, and then. And then centering is a third thing to do. So you want to just close your eyes and notice the place where your body touches the floor or the chair, and just notice, just begin to get into that pattern of noticing things. What do you feel there? And notice the places where your hands or legs cross, and pay attention to the points of contact, and just focus on the way your body takes up space. How much space does it need, and how can you feel the boundary between your body and space, and just be aware of that sensation. So just increasing your awareness of all those things. And then with breathing, the fourth thing you want to do is just close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and become aware of the quality of your breathing. So is it fast or slow or deep or shallow? And just notice where your breath rests in your body. Is it down low in your abdomen or in the midsection or your upper chest? And try breathing, you know, try breathing in the different areas. Try breathing into your chest and then into your stomach and then into your lower belly. And you can experiment with that and feel your abdomen moving in and out with each breath. And then see if you can just focus on the abdominal breathing, that part, you know, deep down 2 inches below the belly button. That's the best way to relax and the best way for proper meditation. And so those are the four things that you want to help your athletes with to establish that posture and then have a quiet, non-judgmental attitude, a passive attitude, and centering yourself. So that you just have that good sense of being, that you're in your center, which is if you can have people focus kind of a couple inches behind the belly button, that's a really good spot to kind of get a sense of being in your body. And then breathing, just nice, slow, relaxed breathing. And then with the timing of it, I think it's good to allow 10 minutes a day, 10 to 15 minutes a day, say first thing in the morning or at nighttime. As you get more comfortable, you could extend that out a little bit more. But the nice thing is, I think meditation has its best effect if you can do little short meditations throughout the day, maybe 5 minutes right before you even. For us as coaches, performing edge coaches, you know, you want to be able to practice this yourself first before doing it with your athletes. So if you can meditate and relax, say right before you're working on your computer for 5 minutes, closing your eyes and just centering and getting into a really quiet place in your mind, then you're going to be able to go into, you'll probably receive some really good insights too. You know, just maybe asking yourself a question, how can I be more the most productive in this next hour? Ask yourself that question. That's the third type of meditation that I was talking about, the reflective type of meditation. And then ask yourself a question, you know, how can I use this situation to my advantage, or use this hour to my advantage? And then close your eyes and allow and do some breathing, and the chances are the answer will come to you. The insight will come of what you need to do. Maybe you'll think of three things that you need to accomplish in the next hour. And so when you come out of the meditation, often what you want to do with that reflective meditation, where you're answering a question, contemplating on a question, as soon as you come out of the meditation or as soon as you get your answer, write it down, either on paper or in a journal or on, say, a Word document or your computer, and just write down the insights that you just got so that you remember them and so you can implement them right away. That's really key. And for your athletes, then, the same thing. If they're, you can ask them to contemplate a question and then go into the meditation, and then you'll get insights as to the answer to that question. Be able to get when you get that answer or some insights or thoughts about what to do, maybe it's a problem. Oftentimes there's a problem that's deep in our minds, and we want to get the right answer as to what to do for that, but there's, you know, so much distraction going on that we can't really focus on it. If you can meditate for even 5 minutes, ask the question, what should I do about this situation? It's almost like you're asking your inner self, your inner voice, then you become quiet. It gives your subconscious mind a chance to work on that question, and then people can come out and be able to you come out of the meditation probably with some sort of insight. Or if you don't, you can always, you know, spend a little bit more time with the meditation or do it again in another hour or so. But chances are, you know, if you're asking something like how can I spend this next hour and be most productive, chances are you'll get an answer of some sort, or you'll figure out what you need to do. But if you're in that deep state of mind, then you'll get a deeper answer. I think you'll get something that's you're going deeper into your mind, into your subconscious, so your mind is able to contemplate more deeply on that question of what it is that you need to do, and then you'll get your mind will give you that answer, and then the key is to write it down and then to implement it right away. You know, if you can go, let's say in our cases, coaches, if you're working on your computer, you're working on a project of some sort, you know, go ahead and you may get an answer of three things that you need to be working on with that project, or you've got a client that a problem and you want to know what to do with that. As soon as you get some insights, write them down and then journal about that right away, and then you'll be able to get your insights first, you know, just kind of brainstorm what's coming right out of your mind with no editing at all. Don't try to say, oh, this is right or this is wrong, but just write whatever comes out of your brain right onto paper. Just let it be a real free-flowing kind of thing, because sometimes you'll come up with things you'd never thought of before. I do that all the time, and you'll be able to come up with new insights, write them all down. And then afterward, you know, when you've got time, you can do the editing, you can prioritize, and you can say, okay, so what do I need to do first? What's most important? What do I need to do second? What's most practical here? Then you can do but at first you're really working with the right brain, that the more subconscious mind, the part of the brain that is more creative, that's more open to new ideas when you're meditating. So you want to capture that, the more creative part of the brain. And then when you come out of the meditation and you're writing it down, then you can start using the left brain to kind of organize things and get them and figure out the best way to implement what you've just learned. So those are some insights I've got with meditation, and I'll put some of these notes in our email to you as well and on the website there. So I just wanted to first check in with you about questions you might have, or what's the best, if any of you, have you used meditation yourself, either with yourself or your clients? And I'd love to have you share your experiences with this sort of thing, or what's been most helpful for you just now. If you want to just press *6, you can unmute your phones, and yeah, just we can all check in here a little bit.
Hi, Dr. Everyone. Joanne. It's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Yeah.
For me, what you said about being here, be here, be now as a mantra, I thought that's the really good one for me. I don't meditate, and I think it's something that I can see the value in it, and I believe you should do it yourself before you can teach your athletes how to do it.
Yeah.
This be here, be now is, you know, you can even use that when you're on the field at a competition and, you know, you're thinking about the outcome, or you're dwelling on the past, or you're stressing. That can just help get your head back in the game as well.
Yeah.
So there's a few applications.
You're out on the field and you're what?
You can use that mantra, be here, be now, just to bring your focus back to, you know, the present moment, and, you know, when you're competing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you find that you're just losing your focus and you're perhaps stressing or feeling anxious or dwelling on the future or the past, you're not in present focus, so it could be good for that as well.
Yeah. Exactly. So something, you know, keep it and it's real simple. Be here now.
Mm-hmm.
Few words.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Realizing that the only thing that we have control over really is what we're is the present tense right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember a couple calls ago, or like maybe not even a couple, maybe 6 months ago, you had mentioned about even meditating just on an object. If you're feeling really stressed, that you can just stare at an object in your room and just focus entirely just on that object. It's a nice, easy place to start.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a picture in the room that you like of the scenery. And then, you know, like I'm doing that right now, just as you mentioned that, I was looking over this great picture I have of Kauai, Hawaii, and it's got this great wave. And as I'm looking at that, it takes me right to Kauai, you know.
Yeah.
You can kind of go, if you go into that object, it takes you to that place. Yeah, you could just focus on nothing, you know, a point in the room, just nothing at all, and then your mind will just, it'll either quiet or go to, your mind may wander, if you can say that phrase, be here now, then it can bring you right back to that object kind of thing. And if you're really anxious and worried about things, it's hard. And then, but then you bring your mind to this particular object. Usually, the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. So, if you've got a choice between, worrying and obsessing about this horrible thing that's coming up, or looking at a nice scenic picture, you know, what's a better choice? I'd rather be looking at the nice scenic picture. It takes the mind there.
And also just to even have the awareness to know that you are stressing, because often you can be feeling anxious and not even aware of it. So the first step is just to be conscious of your thoughts and how they're affecting your emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because oftentimes our mind takes off on one thought and then we just keep thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mindlessly.
Yeah. So, yeah. Those are all really good comments. I'm glad you... thanks, Michelle. Glad you got... that was helpful. And there's so many different ways to do it. Sometimes there's no right or wrong to meditating, and so your athletes might come up with new ways, new insights that you hadn't even thought of, kind of thing. So that's possible too. You can do a meditation with your athletes right on the phone with them or on a Skype call, go through that process like we were talking about, of just the breathing and the just different steps, getting into a nice posture, and then develop that passive attitude of just being relaxed, just noticing and being aware, and then centering yourself. And that works well with the breathing. If you breathe in through your nose and then out through your mouth, a lot of times just focusing on the breathing part, if you have to consciously think, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, then it gets your mind just focused on breathing. And it's just a very relaxing kind of thing. And sometimes I'll do an ocean type meditation with the breathing, where you're just imagining you're either being at the beach, because here, and luckily in the Bay Area, I can go to the beach, but everybody can't go to the beach right away. So you can just either just imagine in your mind being at an ocean and the action of the waves coming in. And as the wave comes in, take a deep breath in. And then as the wave goes out, take a deep breath out. Call it sort of ocean breathing. and then imagine as each wave is going out that it's taking out all the stress and carrying it out to sea. So it's a nice way to kind of calm your breathing down. And just feeling like each breath, you know, like it's hard to get rid of all the stress all at once. But if you think of each wave that comes in as taking away a little more of the stress, a little more of the problems, or it's calming things down. It's just a really natural, you know, it's kind of like the nature's way of taking care of things. Yeah, great. Okay. Anyone else? Other people have comments about what was helpful? So you can press star 6 on your phone just to unmute. If you like what or Rob or Alex or Adriana, if you're there, if you could just comment on the, it might be that people have left if it's a little bit late here, but if you comment on what was most helpful for you or what you could use in your practice maybe, in your coaching.
I personally haven't used this, Adriana. One thing that I did learn about 3 months ago, I paid for it, was Transcendental Meditation, TM.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's where you do it. It's pretty valuable. You do it 20 minutes in the morning and in the afternoon, and there's been studies about that, how it makes you become, like, pretty productive, stresses down, and even studies how it's helped, like, PTSD veterans with TM. Just thought I'd throw that out there because that's the only type of that I've done recently.
Yeah, it's great. It's probably one of the oldest types of meditation there is. You can go to their website. I think it's tm.org to read about that too. And so thanks, Adriana. Yeah, it's basically these same kinds of techniques and we've been doing that transcendental meditation in India for thousands of years probably, and that's where most of the research has been done, is on transcendental meditation. And then there's thanks, and you could maybe suggest that to your potential new client too, the one that you just found. That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations again, Adriana, for that. Reaching out to someone and sharing that technique of just following different athletes on their, because they're always talking about what they're doing on their athletes. Yeah, and a lot of them don't have a familiarity with sports psychology or don't have someone to work with. Or they don't have the resources to hire, somebody full-time kind of thing. But they... Mm-hmm. are really wanting and needing that kind of work, so they're great people to practice on, and then to eventually can become paying clients as well.
Right.
So that's great. Yeah. So also you can just check out in your area, just look for meditation centers. Oftentimes there's one, like I know in close to me here. There's a in Redwood City, and I've been going there to experience this too. And so, oftentimes you can just go for free, and just there's a lot of them are just by donation, and you can go in and take courses, or go onto their website and download different meditations as well. So that's really great. Find out the resources in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Good. Okay. Yes. Other people still on the call? Is Alex still there? Or Rob? I don't know if they've left or not, because it's about that time. But, I want to thank you guys for coming, and Adriana and Michelle and, Rob and Alex.
Yeah, I'm still here,
Oh, hi, Alex.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. What was most helpful to you, or do you think... ways that you might implement this with your athletes?
I mean, I practice quite a lot about meditation, and I encourage athletes to do the same. Teach them to do primarily breathing relaxation, primarily from the diaphragm.
Uh-huh.
And it has helped them very, very much. So, I'm all on board on this Eastern approach. Yeah, very useful.
Yeah, I think sometimes some of the simplest things people can do are the most overlooked, and it is very simple. And some athletes might think, that's boring. I don't want to just breathe, and it might make me go to sleep or something. And so, if you can talk to them about the ways that, like this contemplative, reflective type of meditation where you can, if you're, you know, obsessing about a problem, which a lot of athletes are, about some mistake that they just made, that's a good way to relate to them and say their mind is sort of ruminating on what's going on. You know, ask yourself, how can I get through this, or how can I learn? What can I learn from this? And then go into a meditation, breathing and relaxing. Then oftentimes the subconscious might work through that issue or that question.
Yeah.
And they'll come to some new insight so that next time they can see it happening better. They might even spontaneously probably, you know, go into making a new movie for themselves and seeing how they could do it better next time.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a good question they could even ask themselves. How could I do this better next time? So good. You could do that you know, I would encourage each of you to practice meditation yourself, even, you know, 5-10 minutes a day to get experience this, and just be able to, it can help you to be, you know, say right before you're going to work on your computer, work on a project, see how it can help you focus more on what it is you're doing there. And then if you find yourself getting distracted, then that's a good time to go back into another quick meditation, and it could be just a few minutes. I know for me, I'm an active person. A lot of you are active as well, so it doesn't have to be necessarily sitting down. It can be, because if you're sitting at your computer, then it's best to, when you're taking a break, you want to do something different. So go outside and do 5 minutes or 10 minutes, do a walking meditation, and just walk and breathe and notice and take in things and just let your mind kind of clear. That's a good way to get refocused for the next thing that you're doing. So, one of the best things as coaches, I was going to say before, one of the best times to do a quick meditation is right before you're going to see your next client, because that's when you really want to be focused, is right before the client comes in. You don't want to be distracted with lots of other things or thinking about what you did before. You want to be like a crystal 100% focus. So even if you can take, sometimes what I do is just a brief, I do a real quick sort of meditation, a combination of meditation and yoga. And, you know, I'll do there's a yoga exercise called Salute to the Sun, I call it, where you just, you know, standing, and first you sort of bend your knees, and you bring your arms out front, and then all the way up to the sky real slowly, and so you're stretching, and then you're up in, your arms are facing, or up, reaching as high as you can toward the sky, and then, and up on your toes, breathing in, and then you bring your arms all the way back, and you're trying to, like, reach the back wall, just spread eagle your arms all the way out and all the way down and around in a circle, and you keep doing that about 10 times, so coming up and, you know, and your arms in front of you, crossing over, and then coming up to the sky, and up on your toes, breathing in, and then you start breathing out as you come down, and just if you can do that about, so it's a combination of a yoga exercise, and you're also breathing, and just and then telling yourself breathing in as you come up, and then breathing out as you go back, as your arms come back and down, and go all the way around. Then you're kind of combining meditation and breathing and this yoga exercise all at once. So you're getting in some movement as well. So I encourage you to try to do something like that, and you could demonstrate that, you know, do that before you see your clients, and then also that yoga, do that, it shows your clients that, so that that's something they could do, you know, right before they do one of their, either before evening or before they do their practice or one of their competitions to get, you know, just kind of, it's, so it's not like, because some athletes resist just sitting. They want to be, you know, doing some slow motion, some sort. Some other athletes like to do Tai Chi, that type of thing, too. So, great. Well, yeah, any other final comments or questions anybody have?
Dr. Joanne?
Yes.
I was just wondering, it's probably too late to talk about this now, but perhaps for the next call, if we can just maybe have a small discussion on confidence, because this is something that seems to be coming up with just about every athlete that I'm working with. And
yeah.
I was just, you know, I know you've given us already a couple of really great tools in terms of helping them with this. I'm just, you know, hoping to broaden that toolbox a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great topic. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, we could do that for our next call.
I don't know if anybody else would find that helpful, but
definitely.
Pardon?
I said I'd find that helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. Adriana, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, great. I mean, that's something that everybody wants. That's one of the most common reasons that clients come in, is their lack of self-confidence. So, yeah. Okay. That sounds great. We can plan on that for the next call for the August 13th there. And, if I can do another call on the 30th next week, I'll let you know, too, since it's the fifth Thursday of the month, so there's not so many. I'll probably be able to do one then, since so you can mark that down, the 30th, and I'll let you know for sure. Since there won't be three, it'll be just, 2 weeks, won't be 3 weeks in between there. So that'd be great. Okay, self-confidence and, just how to gain more self-confidence. And that's a really great topic. So that sounds good. We'll do that. Yeah, and anybody else that has, if you have other suggestions for topics to discuss here. You can let me know now or send an email if you've got any ideas for things you'd like to discuss too. Okay, well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for being on the call. And, look forward to our next one here. And I'll send you an email and get their notes here. And we'll talk soon, either next the 30th or the and then the August 13th, all right? Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
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 Thank you.